Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for your immunizing your people against these things that are coming upon the world, especially right now, the coronavirus. We thank you, Lord, that your power is enough. It's all we really need. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to give you just a little short reminder so I can go into some deeper things concerning the numbers of the sick and dead from the coronavirus. The COVID-19 coronavirus is growing in the U.S. exponentially, as people are now beginning to see. And the infected numbers are wrong, and the death numbers are wrong. And, well, how do we know? Well, the CDC decided to make a test that tested several different things at the same time, and it failed to test COVID-19 decently. And now they've lost valuable weeks, and they're not using the test in a wide manner that they would have to do in order to slow the exponential growth in the natural realm anyway. And also, most people are not going to the medical establishment to get counted since they're not afraid of the flu. And they've been told that's all it is, right? And without testing, they have no numbers except the official phony numbers. And also, when we were getting chemtrailed here solidly a few years ago, we learned a lesson. And we didn't see the sky for months. We lived in a few miles outside of a small city. And when we came out to the highway and looked in that direction, we saw that the sky was brown over it many times, with poison. But in other directions, the sky was clear. And when you drove through the city, the haze was noticeable. And looking up, it was dark, but it wasn't rain clouds. It was this brown haze. There's not enough vehicles there to have any smog, obviously. But they sprayed the city. They're spraying the cities in particular. The hospital wards were filled with what the medical people thought wrongly was the flu. But the people were being diagnosed with pneumonia and dying with what they called pneumonia, not flu, or poisonous chemtrails, chem crud, we learned to call it, chem crud. So what would the numbers show if they were honest, which they are not, because they are after depopulation. The CDC has been working with the left for a long time. They made the virus. They had it made in one of their factories there. The numbers would show false, just as they are with the COVID-19. So hiding the numbers like China did is just giving people a false sense of safety. We have a sense of safety because of faith in God, and it has served us well. So I want to share some more documents here that have been leaked out and what they expect. So you know that you need God, because you're going to see that they are going to fail. Okay. Worst place, if you want to go and get the virus, go to a hospital. I mean, if you're thinking you just got the flu, go to a hospital. You'll get what they got. You know, it's common. And it happened in China. It was spread more that way. First people to fall was the medical people, for goodness sake. So anyway, here's an article I want to share with you. It's leaked medical conference documents reveal U.S. hospitals preparing for 96 million coronavirus infections and 480,000 deaths. And this is naturalnews.com by Mike Adams. Leaked documents from a lecturer at the American Hospital Association, AHA, conference in February revealed that U.S. hospitals are preparing for 96 million coronavirus infections, 4.8 million hospitalizations, 480,000 deaths in the USA. This is now reported by both the UK Daily Mail as well as Business Insider, as the UK Daily Mail reports. Dr. James Lawler, a professor at the University of Nebraska Medical Center, presented the harrowing best guess estimates of the extent of the outbreak to hospitals and health professionals as part of the AHA webinar called What Healthcare Leaders Need to Know Preparing for the COVID-19 on February the 26th. The slides projected very high death rates for people older than 60, as explained here. People aged 80 and over have a 14.8% chance of dying if they contract the infection, the slides revealed. The risk declines with youth, though those aged 70 to 79 and 60 to 69 are still placed in a significant risk, with 8% and 3.6% mortality rates, respectively. Those numbers are based on a low estimate of just 5% needing hospitalization. Based on the numbers from the leaked presentation, Dr. Lawler expects the coronavirus to infect around 30% of the U.S. population and result in only 5% hospitalization rate. In contrast, Dr. Fauci of the NIH has estimated that 15 to 20% of coronavirus patients would need hospitalization, meaning that the estimate of 4.8 million hospitalizations may actually be over 15 million. Whoa, 15 million. The United States has fewer than 1 million hospital beds, and they are typically around 75% occupied by existing patients. Unrelated to the coronavirus, we have calculated that U.S. hospital beds will be overrun by May the 30th if nothing is done to stop the exponential spread of the coronavirus. Dr. Lawler's estimate of 480,000 deaths would indicate a death rate of just half a percent, or 0.5%, which is significantly lower than death rates being reported by the WHO, World Health Organization, at 3.4%, and the nation of Italy at 5%. So if the death rate in the United States reached just 2%, while 96 million Americans are infected, that would translate to 1.92 million deaths. Yeah, they're finding the phony numbers. And nobody knows because so many people don't get counted. You know, they just stay home and live through what they think is the flu. You know, my pandemic projection model has estimated 2.16 million deaths in America by July the 4th if nothing is done to stop the spread of the virus. Currently, nothing is being done to stop the spread of the virus, unless you count happy talk from Vice President Pence and the MAGA cheerleading squad who surrounded the president with bad information and terrifying bad advice that's utterly lacking in any realistic grasp of science, medicine, or mathematics. Or paying any attention, or paying any attention to the previous countries that have fallen to this. They're not paying any attention to this. And here's what that model projects will happen unless extreme social isolation and travel restrictions are put in place across the USA. Well, they're doing that in other countries. They've got the whole country's locked down, and they want people not to move around. No large groups, no small groups even. In some cases, one person is let out to go get food, if there is any, and so on. They're doing their best to keep people away from people, which is the only way, naturally speaking, you can slow this thing down and save an awful lot of lives. He goes on to say, by April 4th, 2020, if no travel restrictions are put in place, 8,645 actively infected and transmitting on this day, 580 cumulative deaths dead since day one, with 58 deaths on this day, 5,432 cumulative recovered since day one. And by May the 4th, that's April 4th to May the 4th, you can watch how this exponentially magnifies very quickly. By May the 4th, 2020, if no travel restrictions are put in place, 122,529 actively infected and transmitting on this day. 10,432 cumulative dead since day one, with 910 deaths on this day. 85,332 cumulative recovered since day one. And by June the 4th, 2020, another month, if no travel restrictions are put in place, 1.7 million actively infected and transmitting on this day. Wow. 153,000 cumulative dead since day one, with 12,960 deaths on this day. That's 1.2 million cumulative recovered since day one. And by July the 4th, if no travel restrictions are put in place, 24.3 million actively infected and transmitting on this day, 2.16 million cumulative dead since day one, with 183,000 deaths on this day. Wow. 17.1 million cumulative recovered since day one. Each day, more and more smart people who can do math are coming to realize that the coronavirus will sweep across the United States population and cause millions of infections and deaths unless domestic travel is locked down soon. Of course, all this is in the natural. It does not describe what God can do. I think also more and more people are realizing that God can inoculate people, even though men cannot. They cannot. In all of their practices, and all of what they're telling people to, you know, avoid, is not helping. He went on to say, we are predicting that unless President Trump takes drastic action soon, the coronavirus will result in the end of the Trump presidency long before the November election. Well, we believe this is not going to happen. I'm talking about the end of the president's election, or the end of his presidency, because there are praying Christians who God answers prayer for, and they are keeping him in there because the only alternative is communism. Yeah. Going on, the fact that some Trump supporters have recently become coronavirus denialists, the flat earthers of medicine, isn't helping anyone solve this nationwide epidemic. By the way, denying the existence of the problem will not solve the problem. And you can't make America great again if millions of Americans are dead before Election Day. Yeah, that's true. I don't believe CDC is serving Trump well. I don't believe it. And they've worked for a long, long time under the elite. And they, are, by the way, creating viruses as well as they are supposedly trying to stop them. So I think there's a problem here, you know. We urgently seek to wake up President Trump to the reality of this situation so that he can succeed in deploying a nationwide response that might limit the national deaths to just a few thousand people instead of a few million. But that window of opportunity to act is collapsing by the day, and there is zero indication that Trump will ever admit the coronavirus has already broken containment across America and is replicating freely across every U.S. city and state. If you want to live, read Pandemic News. Well, if you want to live, read God's Good News. That's the best thing, you know. I know Mike is doing the best he can. He's doing a good job of getting the information out there. But there's some information that you need to know. I'm going to try to share with you. You know, he said, if you want to die, heed the advice of Mike Pence and do nothing to prepare for the pandemic. Our best preparation for the pandemic is God. I want to tell you, he warned us before this happened, 2.5 years before this happened, and he said that he was going to use this pandemic to take out people that were disobedient to him. Yeah. So you see, there's something you can do. The Surgeon General also hopes to you stop buying protective gear so that you can get infected and die more quickly, thereby making more protective equipment available to the government, which is stockpiling like mad at this very minute. Doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Well, they want it to be available to the people on the front lines because obviously they start dropping like flies and the medical people start dying quickly. And that's proof from the past. We can go by history. Okay. Okay. Another article. U.S. coronavirus infections just surpassed 1,000 as global death rate reaches 6%, which is 60 times higher than the seasonal flu. Oh, they say it's just like the flu. No, it's not. 60 times higher than the seasonal flu. And the seasonal flu, by the way, is not necessarily seasonal flu. It's many times chemcrud. And I got to tell you, we know this for a fact. We have watched it here and gone into the hospitals after they've done this and watched what's going on. We know it. So that's another number that's lying, you see. President Trump pointed out it was a huge number for just the regular flu. That's right. That's because it's not just the regular flu. Okay. And this article was given also by Mike Adams, March 10th, 2020, Natural News. Now that coronavirus is finally starting to get underway in the USA, coronavirus infection numbers are skyrocketing. 2 weeks ago, I predicted that last week we would see tens of cases of the coronavirus followed by dozens of cases in the subsequent week. And over the next 2 to 3 weeks, I predicted we would see hundreds of cases, followed by thousands of cases in subsequent weeks. It appears I was far too optimistic, yet again. The number of confirmed coronavirus infections in the USA has just surpassed 1,000 today, March the 10th, and it will likely more than double over the next week. I'm convinced it doubled the previous week, by the way, so he's probably right. It's going to be at least that. I'm convinced we already have more than 10,000 infections in the USA and that testing is just starting to slowly catch up. We've prayed over people here that we were quite sure had the virus. Asked the Lord, and he said, yes, that's it. And we pray, and we believe God. We show the good news, and guess what? They get better. With no lasting side effects at all. Yeah. I realize that some skeptics out there are saying PCR, virus testing, is fake science. They claim that since PCR multiplies RNA fragments, it isn't real. That's like saying that since microscopes amplify light, bacteria don't exist. One of the problems we have across the independent media today is that too many prominent writers don't know basic science. So they deny that PCR replication followed by gene sequencing or analysis scanning is real, legitimate science. This is a tremendous problem when you're dealing with a global pandemic, since a whole lot of people don't know what to think for themselves. They rely on information from others who really have zero familiarity with laboratory science, genetic testing, or basic concepts of epidemiology. Even worse, most humans aren't wired to process exponential phenomena, so they don't grasp the reality of things that are about to happen, even after those things have already been set in motion. So, you hear this right now with people who claim it's no worse than the flu. Anyone saying that it's openly admitting that is openly admitting that they are scientifically and mathematically illiterate. There's no other way to describe it. Right now, quite a large number of indie media followers are being misled by individuals who don't know how PCR technology works, and that's causing people to come to the false conclusion that this coronavirus pandemic is, in their minds, one grand global hoax or some kind of somewhat managed to get Iran, Italy, South Korea, and China signed up to fool the world for some unknown reason. It's absurd. Yes, just look at what's going on there. You think they're doing these things for nothing? Italy's locked their whole country down. It's nuts. This whole situation is worsened by the wholly discredited left-wing media now reporting on the coronavirus spread across the USA. Given that the media has lied about everything imaginable since Trump got elected, the pro-Trump public has learned to immediately reject anything reported by the mainstream media, even if the media occasionally collides with a real event and manages to state something that isn't false or stupid. Brian Williams, anyone? So, when the New York Times publishes this map showing over 1,000 infections across America, many people immediately believe the map is a hoax. The virus is a hoax, and that this whole epidemic is no worse than the flu. They don't even see the map. They just see the left-wing media trying to destroy Trump. Well, many Trump supporters literally believe that governors of left-leaning states are declaring emergencies just to try to hurt Trump. Here's an actual comment from a reader of a story on the Epoch Times. Quote, all Democrat states on the East Coast declare state of emergency because the governors are typical anti-Trump, unquote. Well, no doubt that they're reporting it because they are anti-Trump. I don't doubt that at all. But that doesn't make it a hoax just because they're reporting it. Their numbers probably are considerably low, just like all the rest. And so that's why it's going to replicate much faster, and so on. So now, any action that a governor takes to try to rally local resources to fight the virus is reframed by Trump supporters as some sort of plot to embarrass Trump. Yeah, the tribalism has really gotten that stupid. And I've even heard that people that Sanders and Biden are canceling political events solely as a way to try to hurt Trump. That's some really strong brainwashing right there, folks, when every event in the world is now filtered through the they're trying to hurt Trump view of the world. Meanwhile, cases are exploding across America, even as Trump supporters claim none of this is happening. Yes, it is crazy. You don't have to follow and believe everything that Trump supporters believe. It is happening. Go outside the country to foreign news. Who are they deceiving? Their people are in it. They are in it. They are living it. So here's what's happening with the confirmed coronavirus cases across America right now. By the way, notice the parabolic, quadratic, actually, shape of the curve here. It indicates very bad things yet to come. If that trend line doesn't turn flat, then things get very, very bad for the USA in about 8 weeks or so. The global death rate reaches 6%. The global death rate for concluded cases has now reached 6%, with 94% surviving. This rate of 6% is triple what most pundits have been claiming, 2%, and it's 60 times higher than the death rate of the seasonal flu, 0.1%. Mm-hmm. 1%. Yet, there are still people running around saying this is no worse than the flu. Well, frankly, I got to tell you the truth. It doesn't last, nor is it as bad when people are praying that believe God. It isn't. But for other people who don't have that, there's trouble. There's trouble. Those people are, frankly, kind of stupid. They try to keep your distance from them as they are quite likely to get infected. He said, try to keep your distance from them as they are quite likely to get infected and maybe even die, since they will take no precautions to protect themselves and will probably put others at risk with their own actions, too. Well, I have a little comment here about that. this is true naturally, but those who take God's vaccine don't have to trust in man's methods, which constantly have failed. They just trust in God. We have a new book out, folks. It's amazing that it came out, you know, just in a couple of weeks ago, God's Vaccine. And it's available for free on our site. You can go there, or you can order it from a publisher. But you can get it free on our site and read it. Exodus 15 and 26 says, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. The Lord claims to have total authority over diseases. Yes. And we have a better covenant based on better promises, Paul said. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon a tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. You got health from Jesus Christ. If you don't know it, you don't get it. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them. You hear that? Everything you pray for. Believe that you receive them. It's even received in the received text and in all the ancient manuscripts. You received them and you shall have them. It doesn't make sense to the natural man. Well, welcome to the kingdom. Yeah. And Mike goes on to say, notice too that the global increase in infections and deaths is now resuming a rapid quadratic rise after a brief resting period that mostly stemmed from China fudging its own numbers. Yeah. The bottom line, it's bad. It's way worse than anything I've reported or projected. And just because the left-wing media is hyping it doesn't mean the pandemic isn't real. Don't make the mistake of refusing to think for yourself. Don't follow the Trump herd on this issue, or you'll follow them right off a cliff into the abyss of stupidity. Think for yourself. Take precautions and get prepared. Trump may quite literally get infected or die before the election ever takes place. Well, except that the alternative to Trump is communism. So we are keeping him alive through prayers of faith, right? That's my note. Mike says, half of the members of Congress are old enough to be highly susceptible to this virus after all. Well, we're counting on it. And there are even new reports that say the virus causes neurological damage. Imagine the entire Congress turned into a chamber of rambling Joe Bidens who threatened to seize your, quote, AR-14s, unquote. Well, it looks to me like they're getting there fast even before the plague started. Yes, and that's God, because he turns people over to a reprobate mind. He does. We've seen it in our own faction that, you know, has passed from us, thank God. The Lord told us over 2.5 years ago, closer to 3 years ago now, I guess, that he was going to use a plague to remove many of those people from Congress who are corrupting our government. And the faction in both the government and in the church, he's going to use this to bring them down. Yes. And Mike says, yeah, it's bad. It's not even sure our republic will survive it. Well, it'll survive it. And I got to tell you, in the natural way, we're going to be better off for it, because God is in control. And he's taking out the people who need to be taken out. I just have to tell you. Read our book, Sovereign God. You'll find it. I'm absolutely correct on this. Read pandemic.news if you want to live. Well, you can find the truth about statistics there. These people, I think, are reporting pretty well, except when they use the government statistics. But they're telling you how bad it is and how bad it's going to get. Or he says, if you prefer to die, listen to the U.S. Surgeon General's advice to avoid preparing and stop buying masks. Well, in a natural way, masks, you know, can stop some of the splatter from a sneeze or a cough. But generally speaking, this stuff is atomized and it's going through the air and, you know, it can take out whomsoever. Let me just share some good news with you. Jesus saved, he healed, and he delivered you already. You don't have to talk God into anything. He's already talked into it. And he's made provision for you. You have been immunized by faith in God's promises. We discovered this awesome revelation in the scriptures, Ephesians 2 and 8. By grace, that's unmerited favor. You can't be good enough for it, right? By grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. In other words, even faith is not of yourselves. You can ask God for faith. Did you know that? Or you can read the word, and it will give you faith. Yeah. And it's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should glory. So God's salvation is not of works. Now, some people don't carry that quite far enough, but I will. We've discovered that while the Greek word sozo used there for saved is used all through the scriptures in other places, it is translated into different words such as made whole, healed, preserved, and delivered. That's right. So, it is used throughout the scriptures for salvation. Soteria sozo is the verb, soteria is the noun, right? Scriptures is salvation. It is used throughout the scriptures for salvation, healing, deliverance, provision, and save from danger, etc. It's all these things. And when we apply Ephesians 2 and 8, we can see, by grace have you been saved, healed, delivered, provided for, protected, and so on, through faith. That's right. So I'm sorry if you didn't learn that in your church. You can go check me out on that, and you'll find it is true. If you translate the same words the same ways, you'll come up with this revelation quickly. I'm talking about the same Greek and Hebrew words. You'll come up with this revelation very quickly. We discover that this has all been done. It's all been done. These are all past tense words. Saved, healed, delivered, provided for, protected. They're all, it's been done. In other words, the only way that we can take advantage of our benefits is through faith. Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for while the evidence is not seen. Do you understand? Faith is the substance. It's like saying, God, build me a house. He says, okay, give me the bricks. That's what faith is. It's the substance of the thing hoped for while the evidence is not seen. That's why only believers can use faith. The rest of people, even some of the people who partially believe, think this is nonsense because they don't understand what faith is. Faith is believing you have something on the grounds that God says you have it. Okay? We also discovered that the promises of God all through the scriptures concerning the sacrifice of Jesus are past tense. They are past tense. That means he's already given it. While preachers have you begging for it constantly, praying, God is saying, stop praying and believe. It's already been done. It was done at the cross. And not only that, but the Lord Jesus told us, Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever. That, what does that cover? It covers everything, doesn't it? All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them and you shall have them. It is literally past tense. All things whatsoever. Everything that you could pray for, according to Jesus, has already been provided. If you don't believe it, go to some spirit-filled churches and ask around and find out that God has done just about everything people can believe for. He loves us. He wants to provide for it. But he is determined to make faith the key. And that's because he only wants believers. It's very simple. We saw in verses like these from 1 Peter and Romans that we were healed, that we were delivered from our sins. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare, past tense, our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, and by whose stripes you were, past tense, healed. There you go. Romans 6:22 also says, but now being made free from sin, did you know he took away your sins? And as you continue to believe that, you will find out that you are overcoming them. He is working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's the way God works. You just believe and confess, and he does the rest. So what we're coming to understand is that we need to see ourselves in the light of what the scriptures say has already happened. We need to see ourselves as people who have already been saved, already been delivered, already been healed, already been provided for, already been protected by God's hand. And if we do that, we learn to enter into God's rest. You see, some people are pulling their hair out, trying to figure out how to do this. God said, rest. I've already done it. Rest. Just believe. What must the disciples say? What must we do the works of God? He said, believe on him whom he has sent. You see how simple it is? Our part is to believe. His part is to bring the power and to manifest the gift. We learn that God has already provided all these things for us. It only remains for us to enter in to those works which he has done from the foundation of the world, and we do that through our faith. 2 Peter 1:3. seeing that his divine power hath granted. Oh, past tense again. Hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Look, he's already granted. Why are you begging God? Why do you think you're going to be heard for your much speaking? Why do you have to pray, and then the devil tells you you hadn't prayed enough? So you pray, but you never enter into faith, which believes you have received, you see. So you don't get it, and you say, well, it doesn't work. No, you don't work. See, seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. Notice, pertain unto life. All things that pertain unto life. The Lord's not into death. He's into saving. Just remember what Jesus did. He went about doing good, healing all who was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That was what he was into. He loved to do that, raising the dead included. Yes. Notice that this is what we need to be seeing in the spirit, not what we can see in the flesh. This is what it is to walk in the spirit and to have the eyes of the dove, as Song of Solomon calls it in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. Which is to see things the way God commands us to see things. No, I'm going to go back to that verse again, just a minute. Seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Yeah, through the knowledge. Read the Bible and get the knowledge. Get the knowledge to know what you're supposed to see in the Spirit. If you don't see in the Spirit, you won't live in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So if we did this, we would be full of God's holy boldness, power, his dominion in this earth. Through the knowledge, there it is, through the knowledge, is how we gain the spiritual sight of seeing that all things have been provided already, and that the knowledge of these verses that we've been looking at, right? That's the knowledge. It gets, when you read that, you get faith. Faith cometh of hearing, and which is God's kind of hearing, right? Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, my. So read the word. You'll be full of faith. And, you know, you can live right through anything like this. Well, it's these past tense verses describing the dominion that the Lord has given us concerning the healing and the deliverance, the provision and the protection, and all these things the Lord has already given to us, already accomplished for us at the cross. 2 Peter 1 and 4 says, whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature. You want to overcome sin? Listen, I'll say it again. 2 Peter 1 and 4. Whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises. Have you been just reading over them? You must be going to a denominational church. Don't just read over them. Believe them. Precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust. Yeah, you can walk in the Spirit like Jesus walked. Just believe the promises. Believe them. God will do the rest. Okay? The divine nature of Jesus Christ is imparted to those people who are serious about taking hold of these precious and exceeding great promises. Those people who realize through the eyes of the Spirit that they have already been given everything that is necessary for this life. Wow! Isn't that an awesome revelation? You can rest. Yes. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Well, we've discovered that because of these past tense promises, like those found in Hebrews 3 and 4, we could enter into what the Bible calls the rest. Why? It's because we don't have to struggle. We don't have to strive. We don't have to earn or even convince God of our needs. All we have to do is accept what the Bible says, which is that He has already provided them. So now any prayer you pray is a prayer of agreement with what God has already said is ours. Hebrews 4:1. Let us fear, therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering into His rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. Now, where do we need to rest as regarding the coronavirus? You need to rest that this is not going to be a problem. Not the way the world rests and being deceived that it's not going to be a problem. It is a problem to the world, and it is a problem to every Christian who is not believing in this regard. Notice, let us fear, therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering into that. In other words, all of the promises cause us to enter into all of the rest. Don't leave out one that you need now. Why should we have any fear of entering into the rest? It's because all the promises together, corporately, are there to cause us to enter fully into all of God's rest. And we don't want a promise being left out, right? That would prevent us from doing what we need or getting what we need. Amen? The Sabbath was a type and a shadow of this rest in the Old Testament. Some people haven't figured that out yet. Hebrews 3:7 says, wherefore, even as the Holy Spirit saith, today, if you will hear His voice, and it's written in the Scriptures, harden not your hearts, as so many do, as in the day of provocation, like as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by proving me. They didn't believe God's promises, right? And He saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was displeased with this generation, and I said, they do always err in their heart. But they did not know my ways. As I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, which means you don't get the promise. They shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. You need to live in that rest. That's how you get supernatural provision from God. Our fear should be that we would not enter into this rest because He called not entering into His rest an evil heart of unbelief. That causes us to fall away from the living God. Why is that? Well, if you look at Exodus, the penalty for not entering into the rest is that we have to live under the curse of death. Oh my goodness. Why do so many Christians live under the curse of death? And why do others escape death so often till it's their time to go? Exodus 31:14. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that profaneth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. What kind of work is he talking about? It's your works. As long as you're doing your works, God's not going to do His works because He knows you don't believe that He's already provided it. Well, why is it that all these promises are given to us in a past tense form? It's because if you believe them, you are restrained from doing your own works to bring them to pass. If we believe, for instance, that by whose stripes you were healed, then anything we do to receive healing proves that we don't believe that it was done at the cross. If we believe that when we pray we have received, then what happens? What happens to a person who believes they have received? That person can stop, they can cease, they can rest from their own efforts. And if we believe that by grace have you been saved through faith, notice past tense, and if we believe that saved represents all the needs of God's people, then we can cease. We can rest. We can enter fully into this rest through the promises of God. You know the old saying, God helps them that helps themselves. It's not in the Bible. The Lord is not going to share his glory with another. When we cease from our works, he starts entering into his works. And to the extent you cease from your works, to that extent you'll see a miracle. The Bible warns us too, Hebrews 4 and 2. For indeed we have had good tidings. This is the real good news that we've been talking about. For indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they. But the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united by faith with them that heard. They didn't believe, and they didn't get it. And today, there are a lot of Christians that are not, they're Christians in name only. They haven't entered into the fullness of the gospel in the new covenant, and they are not getting what they need. The Babylonish religions are guilty of the blood of the saints. So, these promises do you absolutely no good until you believe them by faith, and then they cause you to rest. For we who have believed do enter into that rest, Hebrews 4 and 3 says. We who have believed do enter into that rest. Which is what? It's ceasing from our works, ceasing from your self-works to try to save yourself, heal yourself, deliver yourself, and so on. We enter into this rest by faith, and the penalty for not entering into the rest is to put up with the curse of death. Hebrews 4 and 3. For we who have believed do enter into that rest, even as he has said, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Well, notice, the works are past. He has already healed us, already delivered us, already provided for us, already protected us. All these things were accomplished through the sacrifice of Jesus. And yet people are not entering in because of unbelief. They have to live under the curse of sin and of death because of a lack of faith. Hebrews 3 and 12. Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief and falling away from the living God. But exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we are become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end. So hold on to your faith firm unto the end. Don't get double-minded. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Don't let men talk you out of it, because you won't receive. Verse 15. While it is said today, if you shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. We have to be confident in these promises. We have to stay firm in our confidence until the end. You see that? Yes, it is God's word. Jesus said, Matthew 10:22, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved, healed, delivered, on and on. Notice. So, we are told in Hebrews 4 and 9, there remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And the word Sabbath in this verse is mentioned only once in the New Testament. That's right. It is the Greek word sabbatismos, and it means a continual rest, not one day out of seven. It means a continual rest. This is what he gave to the people of God in the New Testament, a continual rest. You ceasing from your works all the time. How many times do you, when you, in the New Testament, are we commanded to cease from our works of sin? Of course. How about works of legalism? Of course. And how often? Every day. Every day. A continual ceasing from your works. This is the only Sabbath that is commanded for the people of God in the New Testament. Hebrews 4 and 10. For he that hath entered into his rest hath himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Because these promises are past tense, we can continue to work, or we are proving that we are not believing the promise. Yes. That's the whole point. The promises cause us to rest from our works when we discover that the Lord has already healed us and already delivered us and already protected us and already provided for us in every form. We come to this awesome rest through these awesome promises of God. Amen. So get the Bible out. Start reading your new covenant. The New Testament is your new covenant. It's the covenant that God made with us in the New Testament. Read it. Let it get into you. Don't let anybody tell you that any of it's passed away. They'll kill you if they can. Because none of that's passed away. Jesus is still the healer. He is still the Savior in all things. He still does everything he did when he walked this earth. He's just doing it in a larger body, the body that the New Testament calls the body of Christ. You know, if you want to be the body of Christ, then Christ has to live in you. That means all of Christ, not just the parts that you pick out, that you like, or that your church has sense enough to believe. It's all of Jesus. If you don't have all of Jesus, it's not the real Jesus. Many people have created their own Jesus. Powerless churches have said, well, it passed away. Since we don't have it, it must have passed away. But they won't listen to all of the people out there giving witnesses and testimony that it has not passed away. They are receiving miracles because they have believed. So I'll tell you another book, good book you can read, The Real Good News. It's on our site. It's free. Go and read it. You'll get full of faith. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today, and God bless you and keep you. Father, please bless Michael Hare and the brethren that are coming to listen. We ask you to bless them mightily, give them ears to hear and eyes to see, and do wonderful miracles for them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. God bless you, saints. We'll do this again sometime.